Order, order.
Select committee report.
The Coroner's Amendment Bill, currently under consideration by the Justice and Electoral Committee, makes a number of changes to coronial procedures following a review of the Coroner's Act 2006. Making a submission on the bill was Dr. Simon Stables, a forensic pathologist for the National Forensic Pathology Service, who suggested pathologists could be more suitable than coroners as a point of contact for grieving families.
I work in Christchurch. The coroner on duty is 800 kilometres away in an office in Auckland. So any conversation that has to go through the coroner then divorces family who may be sitting in the whānau room at our mortuary from the pathologist who's 15 metres round the corner. And we have cases where whānau are there with the tupapaku, I'm finished the autopsy, I can trot around the corner, sit on the floor of our whānau room, talk with the family about what we've found, what it means, what we're waiting for in terms of extra results, what the implications of that are. Then the family can take that with them when they go to the tangi the next day.
Dr. Stables did not welcome a proposed change to that process.
The way the change in the amendment is now read is that I'm not going to be allowed to do that. So any contact has to be at the family's request through the coroner who's 800 kilometres away, not with the medical specialist who actually saw the body, because coroners don't actually see the bodies. Coroners don't actually go into mortuaries. Mm. Pathologists do all that stuff. We're the medical specialists that actually play that role.
And Dr. Stables batted off criticism that pathologists weren't equipped to deal with grieving families.
In the past, some of the chief coroners on record as saying that pathologists shouldn't be talking to families because they're not capable of talking to people properly. We've got between us 60 years experience in medicine and we've done a lot of this stuff.
And Dr. Stables found some level of support in a later submission from Chief Coroner Justice Deborah Marshall.
We agree with the pathologists that they should be talking to the families and health professionals if that will assist them in their job. Complete agreement with that. Our difficulty is that sometimes we get disputes for families, we get people pretending to be family members when they're not, and our 24-hour centre can spend a lot of time trying to resolve those issues. So we're supportive of the pathologist talking to the family, but we'd like it to be through the coroner who could say, this is the representative, here's their contact details.
Later, Green Party Justice and Electoral Committee member David Clendon asked the chief coroner about the pathologist's point of view.
The pathologists were here submitting this morning. They were quite strong on this point of being able to speak directly to families, and you obviously got some sympathy for that.
Yes.
But you'd also like to retain level of oversight of that.
Yes.
I think one of the points they made was that this might be happening several hundred kilometres away from where there is a coroner on a Sunday afternoon when conceivably the office is not manned. So
we run a 24-hour, 24/7 system.
Oh, yes.
I'm on duty this Easter weekend and I'll be from 5 p.m. on Friday night till 8 a.m. Monday morning. I'm available.
Chief Coroner Justice Deborah Marshall with that submission on the Coroner's Amendment Bill on Thursday. That bill is due to be reported back from the committee by the 19th of August. And earlier in the week, on Wednesday, the Government Administration Committee looked at a petition calling for a complete ban on fireworks in New Zealand. Speaking to the committee on behalf of the New Zealand Fire Service was its National Advisor on Fire Risk Management, Todd O'Donoghue, who suggested what other alternatives there could be to an outright ban on fireworks.
Maybe there could be some legislation around the time of year that they can be used so that they're not an all-year thing. I guess the difficulty I have, though, is policing that becomes very difficult because we're talking about something that can be placed down somewhere and lit and you walk away from it. It's not like you're breaking into a building and leaving lots of evidence as to who was the person who actually lit the match that lit the firework that caused the damage, if you know what I mean. Like, it would really rely on people seeing, witnessing it and willing to testify and you know, that was the person that did it. But I guess that's one consideration. I struggle myself with how it would be policed and enforced.
Mr. O'Donoghue explained why he thought the enforcement of any new laws could be difficult.
Particularly if you have a group of people, to determine who was the actual offending person that inappropriately used the firework or lit it off when they weren't supposed to. If there was some form of enforcement, it would be a police responsibility. Obviously, they are the experts in the field of gathering evidence of crimes and unlawful activity. So, I mean, I guess that may be a question to pose to the police to get a better idea of what is enforceable to them.
New Zealand Fire Service National Advisor on Fire Risk Management, Todd O'Donoghue, speaking to the Government Administration Committee on Wednesday. All up, there were 15 committee meetings held during the week. I'm Rhys Lyon reporting for ParliamentToday.co.nz with funding from Parliament.